1027 Business with Michael Avery.
It's day 489 of the lockdown. We're counting our Olympic medals and thankful for our silver surfer and swimmer. But the real clock is ticking for the president to reform his cabinet and get South Africa growing again. The brand father, Jeremy Sampson, MD of Brand Finance Africa, is on the line. Jeremy, good evening. It's all about coups of an entirely different kind this week in the world of Tiger Brands. And the scandal seems to be fading faster than the box in the second half against the Lions, though.
I like it, Michael. Good to be with you. Thank you. Yes, Tiger Brands is interesting because when that broke, Monday morning, later morning, everyone was saying, whoa, here we go again. We've got a listeriosis. And I got quite a few calls as well about it. But after seeing the articles on Tuesday in the papers, it seems to have died down very, very quickly. Look, it's obviously different to listeriosis and no one's lost their life. A lot of people saying it's been an overreaction by Tiger, but I guess if you're in their shoes, I can understand that. But it is interesting that they've got, since the last problem, both a new MD and a new head of comms and a new head of outside stakeholder relations. And I think this new team probably learned from the past, but also all three of them are very professional people, and they acted quickly, decisively, and I think as a result of that, the story already is quietening down.
Yeah, lessons learned in how to manage a crisis. Speaking of crisis, the ongoing talk around insurrection, was it an insurrection, wasn't it an insurrection? What I'd like to see are some real answers, rather than just one DJ standing trial for being the alleged coup plotter. And all this while we've got the deputy president in Russia for a month now for a mystery illness.
Well, the deputy president is an interesting one because he's disappeared without trace. Is he still alive? And, you know, when you're a public person, like, after all, the number two person in the country, surely we should be kept informed. Surely we should be able to see if he's still alive. And then the question of MPs, how much leave can they take? How many sick leave can they take? Or does there come a point where they have to step aside or stand aside? Now, we know that at the last election, when Cyril Ramaphosa came in on a wafer-thin majority, he was the kingmaker. So he's a very, very powerful and important guy. So I really think the total lack of transparency, there's almost an iron curtain around him when it comes to information, is crazy.
Yeah, and the cat, they call him, because he's got so many lies. And doesn't pass notice that during a week where we've had cyber attacks on the port of Durban, the deputy president is in Russia, the one country in the world that is really renowned for using cyber attacks to settle political scores. And speaking of cyber attacks and what's going on at our ports, chatting to Gavin Kelly, the head of the Road Freight Association, yesterday, he was saying, yes, well, Durban may be back up and running, but all the other ports are still down. There's a huge backlog. And just reading what Janita Marie, who's the chair of the Association of Freight Forwarders in the country, had to say in the FM today, she said, we think the security cluster is very compromised. They may be who they say they are, but we don't see it in their daily operations. I mean, that's frightening.
It is frightening, but then a lot of things are frightening at the moment. I think it was Peril Haffergie, the former editor of City Press, listed some of the most frightening things point by point yesterday on Twitter. And when you put them all together, you know, what's going on in Durban with the port, and after all, isn't it the most important port by a long way in this part of the world, much bigger than any of the others, and everything is going wrong there, you know, from was it a cyber attack, was it this, was it that, is there sabotage, what's going on down there, and that has a knock-on effect with our supply chains as well, and knock-on effect in all sorts of ways. In fact, the whole KZN area seems to be an absolute disaster at the moment, and is it the end of it? I think we all hope so, but is it the end of it? Because none of us are quite sure, given that these so-called agencies that are meant to protect us seem to be busy fighting each other or doing whatever, but they're certainly not doing their jobs.
Well, all I'm hearing is stories of so-called business forums running around the place, like there had been prior to the riots of the last few weeks, demanding, in exchange for protection, jobs as security around certain malls. Now, if that isn't an extortion racket, then I don't know what is. We're descending into a gangster or a mafia state. And I really think this this needs to be dealt with decisively inside government. And we need someone like maybe a Sipho Maseko, who's announced his resignation from Telkom, to go into government and take that level of skill and dedicate his time to some public service. Could you imagine if he took that approach that he took to Telkom to the Department of Communications, for example? We wouldn't be sitting in the mess we're sitting in with the spectrum issue.
No. And look, let's face it, he came from a background where he was CEO of BP. He comes from the private sector. He's worked for a global group and totally professional. He knows his job. He's a professional manager, like an André de Ruyter. And the thing is that when you actually look at what's going on, a lot of things are around Transnet. You know, it's not just the ports. The railway lines, we're told, have just been ripped up and taken away. Well, that is absolute nonsense. But what it all shows is there's a total lack of leadership from the very top, a lack of leadership when it comes to what you should do, making sure his ministers do their job, making sure they're all speaking with one voice, and generally looking after the interests of the whole of South Africa. And they're not doing it. They're a delinquent party and a delinquent government.
Yeah, they really are. But I want to talk about the footwear that got everyone talking last Friday when our Olympic team rifled out into a largely empty stadium in Tokyo. And everyone said, oh, look, Veldskoen, but they're not very African. Well, they are, actually. Veldskoen were first documented by European settlers over 400 years ago. And apparently, they far predate their arrival. According to Khoisan tribal folklore, it's been argued that the shoes were made 1,000 years before to accommodate the effects of the African climate. So you can't get a more African or South African shoe than the Veldskoen. I thought it was a good brand win.
Well, I think it is. I remember Clarks, the British shoe company, used to produce desert boots, which looked exactly the same. When I first came to South Africa and I saw the Veldskoens, I thought they're exactly the same. Who's selling them at the moment? I think it's Mr. Price. Well, I'd have thought we're going to be seeing lots and lots of people wearing them at the moment. And why not? You know, whether you're male, female, whatever, you know, they're suitable footwear just right for these winter months.
Lastly, from an advertising perspective, Jeremy, I think the Olympics is starting to show its age a little. I mean, you've got sports like skateboarding and, you know, surfing for the first time, and we managed to pick up a silver in that as well. But I get the sense that major brands are questioning whether it's worth all the effort to advertise in the Olympics.
I think that they're actually a bit of a tipping point. You know, when I read that Djokovic now is going to play mixed doubles as well as singles because he wants an extra gold, because he actually wants to have an extra Grand Slam win because he's doing very well this year, which no one will be able to follow him on. But when I see some of the sports that are going on, they seem to be trying to take over just about every single sport, plus a few others, in the entire world. And I think it's stretching itself too thin. And I think rather like Formula One motor racing needs to stop, stand back and relook at itself. Obviously, it's a commercial animal, but the way it's going at the moment is trying to be all things to all men. And I don't think that's going to have too much more runway.
Jeremy Sampson, the MD of Brand Finance Africa, with the brands and sense as always. Jeremy, have a good weekend.
Thanks, Michael.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.